Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. What a fun place to be this morning, right? Yes, amen. Yes, 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 yes. You may not have noticed, but I'm not Pastor John. And the way you know that is because he doesn't have to use a hobbit pulpit. Yeah, that's the only difference, right? Anyway, happy, happy Mother's Day. There's something everybody in this room has in common on Mother's Day. Do you know what that is? See, Renee was right. You guys are so intellectual. You're just amazing. Absolutely amazing. It's my great privilege and honor to be here with you this morning and to just worship the Lord. I want you to know I have some very, very special friends that are here today, my friends Penny and Jennifer. We share a love for serving in Cottage Grove, and they blessed me by coming up here, and they surprised me. It's a wonder I still have my socks on, because I think I about had my socks shocked off. Her last name is Chalk. And my friends that I've loved so much for so many years have come, Ab and Abby. So we are family together, and I'm so grateful for you to be here. Alrighty, so we're gonna talk about flourishing in every season. Yep, that's what it says. Flourishing in every season. And I have something I need to confess. I have had to hire a professional landscaper. I've swallowed my pride. I've looked at the weeds. I've looked at the stuff. And I've said, I surrender all to the weeds and the yard and all of that. And it's not because I'm fancy, and it's not because I'm trying to impress the neighbors, and it's not because I'm preparing to get my yard ready for a Hallmark movie. No, I hired a landscaper because my yard looked like it had been through the Great Tribulation. Yeah, somebody's shaking their head. They know. So, grass, gone. Weeds, gone. Bushes are kind of confused what they're supposed to be doing, and the rest of the yard is thriving like they're on a spiritual retreat. They are not happy. They're not happy. So Jeremy is the name of the landscaper. So Jeremy came a couple of weeks ago, and he walked into the backyard, and he looked at it, and he shook his head. And he said the most encouraging words I would have ever heard about that yard. He said, "Well, I've seen worse." That was so encouraging to me. I've seen worse. And that man gave me hope that it's redeemable. And he was there all day yesterday taking care of the weeds. You've never seen so many weeds in your life. But anyway, he gave me hope. And even though he is so talented and so gifted, he is nothing compared to our master gardener. And he's kind of described in John 15, 4 through 5. This is what it says. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain on the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." You know, if a landscaper can rescue my yard, just imagine what God can do to a human heart, what he's done for our heart. And Psalm 92 says, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God." This is my favorite part. "They will still bear fruit in old age." Mm-hmm. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no wickedness in him. That's what I know about my God. And those passages are not about landscaping. They're talking about life. They're talking about growth. They're about flourishing, not occasionally, not accidentally, but consistently flourishing. Flourishing, I think, starts with the right soil, which I don't have. My landscaper, Jeremy, took one look at the soil in my backyard, and he said, this isn't soil. This is dirt with trust issues. That hit me spiritually, you know, because some of us are trying to flourish in soil that simply cannot sustain life. Soil of stress. Soil of bitterness. Soil of comparison. Soil of busyness. Soil of, I'll handle this myself. You can't flourish in soil that drains you. You can't grow deep roots in soil that keeps shifting. And you can't thrive in a soil that is spiritually toxic. Where you're planted determines what you produce. When it says in Psalm 92, the righteous flourish because they are planted in the house of the Lord. Not occasionally visiting, not spiritually couch surfing, and not just maybe sometimes, but planted in the house of the Lord. Planted. Jesus said, remain in me. Not check in with me every once in a while. Not visit me just when you're stressed. And remain in me, the constant relationship with Jesus. And here's the beauty. God's love is the kind of soil that refuses to give up on you. You can plant the most fragile, half-broken, wind-damaged seed in his presence, and somehow it grows. He loved you. He loved you before you prayed your first prayer. He loved you before you fixed your first mistake. He loved you before you even knew you needed him. That's why his soil is safe. That's why his presence is home. Flourishing begins with choosing where you plant your heart. Jesus says, the Father prunes every fruitful branch. So flourishing requires pruning, which feels personal when you think about how he prunes us. Jeremy pruned my bushes so aggressively, I thought he was trying to send them to be with the Lord. And I said, are they going to survive that? And he said, oh yes, they'll flourish. I did not flourish watching him do that to what I had planted out there. But pruning is necessary. God prunes. He prunes attitudes that drain us. He prunes habits that destruct us. He prunes relationships that derail us. He prunes fears that limit us. He prunes pride that blinds us. And he prunes comfort zones that shrink us. Pruning feels like loss sometimes. Pruning feels like God is taking something away. Pruning feels like God is messing with your life plan. But pruning is not punishment. Pruning is preparation. And pruning, I learned this the hard way. Pruning is proof of God's love. If he didn't love you, he'd leave you alone. If he didn't love you, he'd let the weeds take over. If he didn't love you, he'd let your branches grow old and heavy until they snapped. But God loves you too much to let you completely self-destruct. Although some of us have gotten pretty close. Every cut is a love letter. Every pruning is a promise. I see more in you than you see in yourself. Oh, I know people like that. I was a people like that. I couldn't believe that he loved me. I couldn't believe that he cared. I couldn't believe it. But I believe it now. I know it now. He said, I see more in you than you see in yourself. So I have a question for you. What is God trying to prune in your life that you keep trying to protect? You don't have to answer that. Flourishing requires deep roots. Like Psalm 92 says, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. We're still bearing fruit. We're meant to. That's a promise. You don't get to retire from this life of serving and loving and worshiping and being part of him. And all of us grandparents, and some of us are great grandparents, those that we see, those of us that are collecting our Social Security checks, we are still to be flourishing, and we are still to be being planted in God. It's not a shallow root faith. You know what happens when you plant something and the roots don't go deep and it's just shallow? They don't flourish. They may survive, but there's a difference, isn't there, between flourishing and surviving. Deep root faith will keep us flourishing in our relationship with God. The landscaper told me, these plants, your plants out there, they don't have roots. They have suggestions. Some of us have suggestion roots in our walk with God. Some of us pray when we feel like it. Some of us worship when it's convenient. Some of us read scripture when we're desperate. Some of us trust God when we've run out of options. Deep roots grow when you pray, even when you're exhausted. When you worship, when you are discouraged. When you stay faithful, when life is not fair. You trust God when the answers are slow, or it doesn't feel like they're coming at all, or it doesn't feel like God ever heard you. But you trust him. You trust him. And you keep showing up when you'd rather check out. Amen to that. You keep showing up when you'd rather check out. And here's the good news. God's love meets you in the hidden places. In the quiet moments when no one else sees you trying. In the nights when you're holding on by a thread. Some of you know exactly how desperate we are to keep hanging on to that thread, don't you? In the mornings when you're too tired to face the day, when you're too tired to pray. But you whisper his name anyway. Jesus. 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 God's love is not impressed by our performances. He loves you when you're strong. He loves you when you're struggling. He loves you when you're standing tall. And he loves you when you're barely hanging on. His love never ends for us. We can't make Him love us anymore, and we can't make Him love us any less. He loves us. He knows us right where we are. His love is the water that reaches the deepest roots. I'm told that I'm going to have to water this new stuff Jeremy's going to put in my yard. And our water bills in Cottage Grove are sky high. And I don't expect there to be a whole lot of rain between now and November, do you? No. But God's love is not dependent on the seasons. It's not dependent on anything. God is love. We know that about Him. And His love is the water that reaches the deepest soils, the deepest roots. Don't be afraid to plant deep. Don't be afraid to think that God's not going to meet you there. Don't be afraid to trust Him. And don't be afraid to plant. Plant yourself, plant yourself, plant yourself. So another question. Where do you need deeper roots? Do you need deeper roots in prayer? In scripture? Here's one for you. Do you need deeper roots in obedience? Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Talk about Sunday school songs, right? How about deeper roots with our church family, with our community? Penny and Jennifer and I are creating a community of people in Cottage Grove that don't even know they need a community. We need to be part of community. We need to be part of family. That fifth Sunday supper where we just are family. We can't get enough of that, can we? Well, maybe you have 10 siblings and 3,000, second cousins, and you have family everywhere. This is a different kind of family. We are brothers and sisters. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe you need deeper roots when it comes to trust. To trusting Him. To trusting that He means for you to flourish. That He doesn't mean for you to always have to struggle all the time. He means for you to flourish. So where do you need deeper roots? And are you willing to dig deeper for those roots? Another thing about flourishing is flourishing means thriving even in drought. Well, we can kind of understand that here in Western Oregon again, where we didn't have much rain, there's not much snowpack. We know what happens. There's fires already. Think about your own heart as if it is in drought. What do we do? How do we continue to flourish if it feels like thriving is not possible because there's no water? We are in a season of drought. How do we flourish then? Palm trees flourish in deserts, right? Vines flourish on rocky hillsides. Flourishing does not depend on your season. Flourishing does not depend on your working it harder and harder and getting more and more frustrated because it doesn't feel like your life is flourishing in any way. Our flourishing is not dependent on our season. Our flourishing is dependent on our source. On our source. The love and the care that God has for us, the love and the care we receive in community, that feeds and flourishes our season. Jeremy, the landscaper, sent me a message this morning. He said, "Happy Mother's Day, and healthy roots survive drought." Okay, Jeremy, what, can I use that in my sermon? Healthy roots survive drought. So, if we've planted our roots deep enough in the Lord, that when those drought times, those hard times come, we are not going to shrivel up and die, because we are deep in God's presence. He is our source. Jesus says, remain in me. Remain in me. Remain in me. We can flourish in uncertainty, even when you're not sure. We can flourish in grief. We can flourish in transition. We can flourish in financial strain. We can flourish in spiritual dryness. We can flourish in relational difficulty. Because flourishing is not about the weather, it's about the vine. And here's the miracle. God's love does not evaporate in a drought. It doesn't thin out when life gets hard. It doesn't weaken when you feel weak. His love is the shade in the heat. His love is the rain in the dry season. His love is the strength when you think you don't have any strength left. That's what his love is. Deserts don't scare God. He's been bringing people out of deserts ever since Genesis. Old Testament joke. Anyway, thank you, Tim. So, how do relationships flourish with God and others? How? Well, I think flourishing is communal. Vines grow together. Palm trees grow together. Aspens grow in groves from one root. Our root is Jesus. Aspens, that is absolutely amazing that a whole grove is connected to one single root system. Have you ever seen the aspens in the fall? Oh my goodness, the beauty. And they're all connected. Flourishing, I think, is communal with God. When we stay connected daily, when we talk honestly, you know, just because you don't tell him about what's going on doesn't mean he doesn't know. He knows. And when we let Scripture shape us, when we obey quickly, when we worship wholeheartedly, and boy, that's easy to do with the music here. And you guys have heard me say it. You know, my sponge is dry, and the music, Tim, fills it up with spiritual water, and then that leaks out my eyes. Worship wholeheartedly. And flourishing with others is like this. We flourish when we give grace freely. We flourish when we forgive quickly. We flourish when we listen deeply. We flourish when we encourage intentionally. We flourish when we serve joyfully. We flourish when we show up consistently. We flourish when we laugh often. And if you have to use a hobbit pulpit, I can guarantee you I laugh often. We do all this because God's love is our model. He forgives us before we deserve it. He listens before we explain. He stays when others walk away. He believes in us when we doubt ourselves. So another question. Who do you need to reconnect with? Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to encourage? Or who do you need to invest in? My landscaper's good. But he can only work with what's out there, with what I give him. God is different. God can restore what's dead. God can revive what's dry. God can heal what's broken. God can strengthen what's weak. God can redeem what's wasted. God can grow you where you thought that possibility was gone. God can grow you through that. And he does it because his love is relentless. He doesn't look at your life and say, hey, that's too messy. That's too complicated. It's too late. He doesn't do that. He does not do that. His love leans in. His love says, I can work with that. His love says, I can heal that. His love says, I can grow something beautiful right there. That's his love. God is not intimidated by your past, and he's not limited by your present. You are not the one responsible for producing the fruit. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. You are responsible for staying connected, and God will flourish you. God will flourish others because of you. He will. He will. So, are you trying to produce fruit on your own strength? Oh, I just need to work harder. I just need to do more. We are told to stay connected to the vine. That's what we're told to do. Stay connected to the vine. In another place, in another time, I was pastoring, and I was past. There was a family that was coming, and there was a teenage girl and a little girl, younger girl, and their mother had surgery, and there were complications from the surgery, and she died. Her husband did not want to do a service. He didn't want a memorial service. He didn't want anything like that. And I talked to him, and I said, your girls need some closure. Your girls need to have a memorial for their mother. And so they agreed to do that, and we did that in a park. And the teenage girl, if you can believe, it's shorter than me. I mean, we do come even shorter than this. And she had been given some new clothes to wear to that, and the pants were too long. And I said, well, just bring them over to my house. I know how to make pants the right length. I do it all the time on my sewing machine. And so she did. And I'm sitting at the sewing machine, and she's standing behind me. And she says, Pastor Cindy, will you be my mommy? I said, oh, honey, I can't be your mommy, but I can love you, and I can walk with you, and I can be with you, and we will remember your mommy together. Well, the girl graduated from high school. She went off to college. She met up with some people that were not good for her. She made some really bad decisions. They moved to another state. They moved to Washington State. And life did not go well. Children were taken. Homeless situations happened. I lost touch with her. I lost contact with this girl. About a month or so ago, I got an invitation to speak at a woman's event in Washington, in Tacoma. I said, yes, I'd love to. I'm going to be up there next weekend, taking my hobbit pulpit with me. About 2 days after I accepted that invitation, I got a message through Messenger from that girl. Her name is Stephanie. I said, oh, honey, I'm going to be in Tacoma. That's where she is. She's homeless with a child in a van in Tacoma. Do you think it's any coincidence that I'm going to be in Tacoma? Next weekend? I sent her an invitation. I sent her the flyer. I told her where I was going to be, and I'd love to see her. And she responded, and she said, I'll be there. I've already RSVP'd. I want her to know she can still flourish. That God hasn't stopped loving her. That He wants her to know that He is there for her. And I get the privilege of seeing her, praying for her, reconnecting with her after all these years. God is not finished with Stephanie yet. God is not finished with you. And God is not finished with those people in your life that you think, oh, is there any hope for them? I had a grandson like that. No, really, I have four grandchildren. But when they would come stay for the summer, I thought I had five because one of them, anything would happen. The one who always was the troublemaker always said, not me, not me, not me. And so I decided there's a fifth grandchild named Not Me living at, coming and spending their summers with me. Don't say, not me, when God calls you to flourish. A friend of mine had a tree in his yard that looked absolutely dead. No leaves, no color, no life. He told his landscaper, cut it down. And the landscaper said, no, not yet. Let me work on it. So he pruned it. Oh, my goodness, did he prune it. He pruned it, he watered it, he fed it, he cared for it. For months, nothing. Then one morning, my friend walked outside, and he saw a tiny green bud. Just one, barely noticeable. But that one bud turned into a branch. And that branch turned into leaves, and those leaves turned into shade, and that tree, the one he wanted to cut down, it became the healthiest tree in the yard. And maybe there's somebody here today that feels like that tree. You feel cut back. You feel dry. You feel forgotten. You feel like nothing is growing. But the master gardener is not through with you. He is not. He will not. And that little green bud, that's not just life. That's love, because God's love specializes in resurrection. God's love brings life out of what looks dead. He loves surprising you with hope. He loves showing you that He's been working underground all that time. He loves you. If you stay planted, if you stay connected, if you let Him prune, if you let Him nourish you, if you let Him nourish your soil, He will grow that tiny green bud that you didn't think was possible. You will flourish. You will bear fruit. You will thrive in every season. Scripture doesn't just say you might flourish. The possibility, Tim, somewhere along the line, you just might flourish. I hope so, too. He doesn't say you could flourish. He doesn't say you'll flourish if you do it all right. He doesn't say it that way. It says, he says, the righteous will flourish. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Oh, all right, let's do that. Let's commit to that. Let's flourish in Him in every season. So I want to encourage you to lean into God's love, to see that tiny green bud that you didn't think was possible, and to continue to let Him love you through every season of your life. I'm going to close this in prayer. If you need the Lord to remind you how much He loves you, please open your heart to Him right now and let that be true. Let's pray. Lord, plant us deep in your presence. Prune what needs pruning. Strengthen our roots. Help us flourish in every season, O Lord. Make our lives fruitful. Make my life fruitful. Make my relationships healthy. And in our community, Lord, let there be a place where everyone thrives. May your peace, Lord, be our strength. Where you have planted, O God, would we see the grace and the beauty of the garden that you're growing in us. And Lord, remind us that you as the master gardener never gives up on what he plants. And Lord, walk with us this week. Walk with us and remind us that we are deeply, wildly, unshakably loved by you. Loved on our best days, loved on our worst days, loved in every season, love without condition, love without end. And then, Lord, as we go, would you bless us? Would you keep us? Would you make your face to shine upon us and be gracious to us? Lord, would you turn your face towards me, towards all of us, and give us peace, fresh, green, flourishing peace today and in the days, in all of the days to come. We thank you and we ask it in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.